Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, lads, think about this. When you live in direct provision in Ireland, there is very little done to make you feel like you're in, well, the land of 100,000 welcomes, right? Well, on the line now is Amanda Nione, who is working to change the experience of direct provision for other people, even while she is going through it herself. Amanda is on the line. And Amanda, you are very welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have
you. Delighted.
Now, Amanda, towards the end of last year, you got involved in the Putting Down Roots project. Can you just explain what that is all about?
Okay, so essentially Putting Down Roots project was a campaign we decided to run to raise funds for people staying in direct provision in order to be able to access their level education.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you're very familiar with the system that is used in direct provision for third level education. But until recently, they had to be paying international fees to be able to access third level education, which was like out of reach for a lot of people.
So impossible. Impossible.
Almost impossible, yes.
Okay.
And you've got thousands of people who want to upskill, want even, besides upskilling, we've got young children who are coming out of, you know, high school and they're looking to like going to university and be better people. And then they're faced with that challenge of how do they then, you know, pay towards, you know, university. And so this campaign was really, really about kind of questioning that, you know, that, that gap.
And that because, system. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just to say, okay, let's cry out and say, we are here. We need better ways of working, of better ways of integrating. So, yeah, here we are. And I think it was kind of a nice way to kind of put the sustainability element to it, but also kind of raise awareness to say, you know, not we are here. So,
Amanda, it must be very demoralizing and unmotivating for a student who, you know, goes to school and maybe does the leave insert in direct provision and gets 400, 500 points and then nothing. Like, university is so out of reach for them. That must be very, very hard for students who want to go to university.
It is very hard. Like, a lot of them then don't go, you know, and further their education. And then they're kind of, you know, forced into going into, like, minimal jobs, which it's not a bad thing in itself, the jobs themselves. But, you know, when you've got a desire to want to be more and the opportunity for that is not available to you,
totally.
It's a different story. You know, it's totally different story altogether. And so we want that option to be available to them.
Amazing. Well, well done for bringing us, you know, bringing this to our attention and actually doing something about it. Because you live in direct provision now, but you were originally placed in emergency accommodation. Can you just tell us what that was like?
Okay, so what they call an emergency accommodation is normally like what they call like maybe a B&B or you're put up in a hotel. So a lot of times people will be like, oh, maybe you're staying in a hotel, so it's fabulous, 4-star, you know, everything is, you know, smooth sailing. But most of the time what's happening on ground isn't what people actually think it is. And I think that was the experience I got from my time staying in an emergency accommodation. So actually traumatic, to be fair. Yeah, and I don't think that place will ever see my money, ever, on a personal note. But, yeah, it's the restrictions. It's kind of like, you know that you're an other, you know how they'll tell you not to disturb. They're paying clients. You're put in your own secluded place. You need to make sure you stay in line. It's just a lot that kind of makes you realize that, you know what, yeah.
Welcome. It sounds like you didn't feel. Yeah, let's just call it here. You didn't feel very welcome, and I wouldn't. If I was hidden
it's
away.
Like, you know that you're not here as a paying guest. You've just been put up, so you know, take what you have. So I think that experience for me in an emergency accommodation was very traumatic. So I was glad when I was moved. Okay, initially, to be fair, I wasn't glad when I was moved to Tullamore because I had read like that there had been protests and residents didn't want the center to be opened. So I was I cried the first day I arrived. But I think after you get here and you actually meet the community and everyone is like, you begin to be like, okay, so now I can actually begin to be feel at home. And mm-hmm. the community and the people that you interact with on a daily were very friendly and very welcoming, to be fair.
Were you in some ways lucky to be placed in Tullamore Centre rather than a different centre?
Yes, I would say I would. Well, like in the overall, because a centre like Tullamore is self-catering. So that kind of means I am able to cook my own food at my own time. And I think that's a very big part of just kind of carrying a piece of home with you.
You
know, like you don't, like, you know, even if you say to people, oh, maybe I miss like my home food or African food, they'll cook maybe like jollof rice, but I'm not Nigerian. That's an ethnic food for Nigerians. I'm a Zimbabwean. So it's those differences that people wouldn't realize. You know, and so being able to cook your own thing the way you'd cook it at home, like it just really kind of makes you still feel like, okay, there's still a piece of home and that comfort that you carry. Food is big.
Absolutely. It's so important.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in the Museum for Everyone?
Okay, so Brandon Fox reached out to me after the, so we had a Black Lives Matter protest mm-hmm. around the time of George Floyd. So after that, he kind of got my contact details and I was like, no, I've got this idea of setting up the Museum of Iran and I would like you to come on board. And I like the concept. I like the idea. And I also like the freedom in which it allowed me to express myself and look at issues that are dear to me or things that affect me or even on a personal level. But I was able to bring on board like projects that could actually make an impact. So, yeah, that was how I got involved with the Museum of Everyone, and here we are today.
That's amazing. And what do your family at home in Zimbabwe, what do they think of you getting involved in just trying to help other migrants here in Ireland?
Well, now the tone has definitely changed.
Oh, really? Oh, tell us, what was it like before?
I think, like, before it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've just gotten there. You haven't even gotten any papers. You're starting to cause trouble. You'll never get papers. Because now, you know, it was like, it was a lot. Like, it was a lot, to be fair. But I think also just going on national TV helped that a lot.
It always does. You know, it always does. I'm sure working in projects that you care about, it just helps with your frustration with direct provision and the system.
Yeah, it does. Because I think so many times when you're in the system, you kind of like want to shy away. Because it's like kind of, you know, the diminishing element of it or how people view me. And so many people don't even want to speak out. And I kind of had that also feeling of, oh, my God, now I'm here. What about my friends? What about my family? It's so embarrassing, you know, and it's like, this is not cool, you know. But, you know, I stood up and was like, Amanda, this is part of your journey. It's part of your process. And if you don't speak up, then who do you expect to be the change?
Who will?
So,
yeah.
Well, like,
good on you.
Good
on you. What do you make of this amnesty for migrants that the government spoke about at the end of 2021?
Well, to be fair, I think we need to see it being done to actually believe it.
Yeah.
I think the initiative is a great one. If it's implemented within that time frame, and that's a very big if, you know, within the stated time frame, well, I'll be impressed. Realistically speaking, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
I need to see it happen.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. What simple ways do you think Ireland could help migrants integrate better into society?
I think it's opening up your communities to them. And by opening up your communities, I'm talking about involving them in things like whatever club activities, socials are happening. Of course, now with COVID, that's not really as possible as before. But when things open up, events that are taking place, let them know. In terms of creating spaces and opportunities, even in your town, like jobs, if there's something that's there, advertise it in the centres as well. It's a very big thing, you know. A lot of people and, like, centres are mostly in kind of, like, maybe remote places and things like that. So it's hard for them to get jobs in, you know, areas, especially in the smaller towns, because they are so intimate and closely knit you know. So open up. If there is an opportunity, it doesn't hurt to drop off like an advert at the center to say, okay, we're looking at hiring. Can people come on board from the center? It will also help, you know, the people in the center. It will also give back, allow the center to give back to the community and build as part of it. But also just reaching out, like, for a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, even an online, you know, coffee and catch up, just to have a friend who you can go on a walk with. It can get very depressing, you know, like with the system, the in and out. So just to have that someone to just talk, even just laugh about the weather or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it there. You said when you first got to Tullamore Centre, you cried the first day, but it was the local community, the interactions, those day-to-day interactions, the smiling back at you, the talking to you, helped you get through it. And that is something that is so simple as well, but so important.
Yeah, definitely.
So how is putting down roots, how is it all going? Would you like people to get involved?
Yes,
how can we help?
Yes, I would.
Go on.
And please, you go to the Irish Refugee Council website.
Mm-hmm.
And you just click on the fund donations, the putting down roots. It is just $5. That is like a McDonald's burger, you know.
Yeah.
Just $5, €5, sorry, can change someone's life. So I'm calling out, please. A lot of people have seen the program. A lot of people have said it's a great initiative. A lot of people have heard about it. But a lot of people haven't taken action to support it and actually put the money in. So I'm calling out, if you're listening, take the time, not more than 2 minutes, make that donation of €5 and change someone's life.
So what's the website again? Just to be clear, the website to go to is?
The Irish Refugee Council website. Or you can go to our website, the Museum of Everyone, and it will still direct you to the website of the Irish
Amazing.
Refugee Council, where you can find that link and share.
Amanda, and, you're a star.
No problem.
Thank you so much for chatting to me about the work you're doing to improve the life for yourselves and others in 2022 and beyond. I see great things happening for you. Keep up the good work and don't be a stranger to the show, okay?
Thank you so
Thanks,
much
Amanda.
For allowing us the opportunity.
Anytime. Bye.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.